Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to a Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. We bring you strange stories covered by newsrooms across the country. Have you ever seen the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? Well, imagine that type of weather-induced cross-country journey full of mishaps and just make it longer. Oh, and instead of two guys, imagine it's more than 80 high school students from Minnesota stranded in California. We'll hear all about that from the choir director who had to get those students home. Then we'll hear a discussion about another group of high school students in Kansas City. They think that Shakespeare has, like, no riz. And they made us consider this question. Should the bard be taught to young students? After that, we're checking in with the Savannah Bananas baseball team, who just brought their unique take on the sport to New Orleans, Louisiana. And for our last story, no, that wasn't a Savannah Bananas home run that people witnessed in Ohio this week. It wasn't Superman. It wasn't even Spider-Man. NASA confirmed that it was actually meteorites falling on the area after a fireball was spotted this week. Up first, we'll hear from Matt DeMoke, the assistant director of the Bloomington Kennedy Show Choir. He joined Jason DeRusha of Drive Time with DeRusha on Odyssey Station WCCO News Talk after a blizzard resulted in canceled flights and left him and the choir trapped in California.
And Matt, it's a little different than like when you're stranded out of town on a vacation, when you're stranded out of town with an entire choir.
That it is, yeah. You know, if it was just me trying to get home from Los Angeles through a snowstorm, it'd be a different story. But we've got 106 high schoolers, about 24 parents and chaperones and other teachers. So it's a logistical nightmare, but we're making the best of it.
All right, lay it on me. You're in Los Angeles. You were there to perform. What's the story?
Yeah, so we are high school show choir at Bloomington Kennedy High School, and wanted to end our season in a fun way this year. So we spent the last 12 months fundraising to get to raise enough money for us to compete in Los Angeles, California, at Los Alamitos High School. So we flew out Thursday night. We had a performance and competition on Saturday. We were lucky enough to take home the top prize of grand champions with best choreography, best vocals, and our best soloist. And that's why we're out here, was for the performance.
And so the blizzard and the snow and all of the flights, you were supposed to fly home on Sunday night, right?
Yep. So we were supposed to take the red eye flight home, leaving at like 11:55 p.m. Sunday night and arrive this morning back in Minneapolis.
So what happened? The flight was canceled and you guys didn't have travel insurance, or there was why are you guys trying to raise $30,000?
Yeah, so the flight was canceled because of the snow. You know, nothing was really coming into Minneapolis last night or this morning. And the earliest that we could get out with our, you know, we have 88 people that are on the flight home with us.
It's not an easy, like, just slide into another flight with two or five or whatever. It's a ton of you guys.
Correct. Yeah, a ton of us. And we're trying to make sure that we're not sending kids one by one across the country. So trying to get us all back home as quickly as possible. It was looking like Friday morning was the earliest that we could get a flight out of Los Angeles back to Minneapolis. And that just wasn't going to be really a feasible option for us, because five more days of a trip comes with five more nights in a hotel, five more days of coach buses around, five more days of meals that our students didn't plan for. This was a trip that was, already several thousands of dollars for our booster club and choir program to put on. And so we didn't just have the extra cash lying around. And so what we've been able to do is sort of hopscotch our way across the country to get home. So today we have the choir on flights from LA to Salt Lake City and then Salt Lake City to Denver. And then I have two coach buses picking us up in Denver and driving us the rest of the way back to Bloomington with the hope of getting in Tuesday late afternoon, early evening.
I don't know if people realize, like, when you're a choir director or an activities director of some club, you're sort of, you know, you're also the transportation director. You're booking this. You're trying to figure this out yourself as well, right?
Yeah. So I've spent, you know, pretty much the last 3 days trying to figure out how we can get kids on flights, what hotels can take us, what bus companies can I try to, you know, convince to drive 12 hours in one direction. So it's been a lot of putting on the travel agent hat that I didn't know that I needed to have. But you know, we're working through it. This isn't our first time that we've had travel issues. Just never this far away from home. You know, we've had buses freeze on us as we're driving, you know, in negative 30 degree weather, or U-Hauls that won't start because the, you know, petroleum is frozen. But trying to rebook 88 kids and, across the country, this is a first for me. So hopefully it'll last.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
By Tuesday, the team had safely made it home, and they ended up raising more than $30,000 to help them tackle the Odyssey back to Minnesota. That's according to the choir's Facebook page. Another group of high schoolers in Miss Molly Dugan's Kansas City area English class went viral this week when she posted a video quoting their responses to William Shakespeare.
Romeo is total cringe. There's a local teacher who has sort of gone viral for her takes on what her, I believe, 7th or 8th grade students say and do in class.
I think she's a freshman teacher now, but...
super funny woman. And they are studying Romeo and Juliet right now, and a lot of the students have said, he's a stalker.
So she went viral because she would write down ridiculous things that these kids would say and then read them in a monotone voice on social media.
That was the Dana and Parks show out of Odyssey station KMBZ in Kansas City, discussing the viral video this week. I'll give you a taste of some of the student comments. Was there time back then? Asked one of the students. Like, did it exist when Romeo and Juliet were alive? Is Shakespeare a real person? Asked another student. Because I thought he was maybe one of those Greek gods, so I've been confused. Bro's a hella stalker, said another of Romeo from Romeo and Juliet. Romeo was also called hella cringe, as Dana mentioned. So what do you think? Should teens be reading Shakespeare? The Dana and Parks team had a lot of opinions. Let's listen.
Why do we still teach that in school?
I don't know.
Why do we still teach Shakespeare in school?
It's a foundation of Western civilization and language.
But if we want our children to love reading, I think you have to ease them into Shakespeare. I do agree with Scott in that regard.
I think you need to avoid them from Shakespeare.
One of the things my son said to me, they are in New York right now, and he had the opportunity to see Outsiders on Broadway. And he said, Mom, thinking back to my middle school, high school career, that was really the first time I read a book and thought, oh, books can be good. And he said, I loved it. And then after that, I started seeking out books of import that he enjoyed reading, but also had some historic significance. And I have always said, if you start him out with Shakespeare at 6th or 7th grade,
I'm gonna ruin him.
I think that's a hard sell, Dan.
Well, yeah, it is, because it's not exactly taught with context, etc. And it is very, very difficult, but teaching Shakespeare is very important now to sixth graders. I don't know.
Give me one reason why teaching Shakespeare is important.
I already did. It's the foundation of Western civilization and language.
But what is that benefiting to students in 2026?
Exactly.
Because I read Shakespeare as a student in, I guess that probably would have been the late 2000s. And I since I read it, have not referenced it except for maybe to be or not to be in my life.
It's hard to choke down some of it at that age. And
it's also very hard to teach.
Oh, yes. I would say, Dan, if you are an English major or are going into the arts or theater, there are a whole...
It's like asking the question of why do we teach math? I mean, that was established eons ago. Why do we still teach math? Why do we teach this? Why do we teach that?
But the language in a Shakespearean novel or play is so hard for the average American teenager to understand.
So it's a challenge.
Without Cliff's notes.
I'm probably biased as an English major who loves Shakespeare, but I think that any curriculum that inspires such funny viral responses, like the ones in Dugan's video, is worthy of study. And it's a good opportunity to teach students that Shakespeare was, you know, a real guy. We also quote Shakespeare way more than we realize. Here are just a few words that were first attributed to the playwright according to the Shakespeare Birthplace Trust. Alligator, bedroom, downstairs, eyeball, fashionable, gossip, and skim milk. There are tons more, too. While people might think of Shakespeare as high culture, the fact is that theater in Elizabethan England was way more casual and bawdier than we probably think of it today. You might compare it to, let's say, a Savannah Bananas game. Stay tuned to learn what I mean by that after the break. Thank you for listening to this special presentation of Weird News from Odyssey's Something Offbeat. If you've ever caught a clip of the Savannah Bananas on social media, you know they don't play baseball like a typical team. They wear bright yellow uniforms. They dance. They sing into their baseball bats like they're giant microphones. It's part sports game, part theatrical performance. The Bananas' motto is, "Let's make baseball fun," and they play their very own version of the game that moves quicker than traditional games. It's called Banana Ball. There are stilts, surprise musical guests, food, all types of stuff. This project started in 2015 when the team first arrived in Savannah, Georgia as a college summer team. In early 2016, they changed their name to the Bananas, and they started selling out stadiums. They now run the Banana Ball Championship League with 6 independent professional teams. Recently, the Bananas made a stop in New Orleans, Louisiana, and Newell Normand of Odyssey station WWL went to a game. He also spoke to Jay Cicero, president and CEO of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, about the team's debut in the Big Easy.
So, Jay, I don't know about you. I went Saturday night to see Savannah Bananas. What a show. What a production. Those folks came into town, and they just dominated. I mean, they were everywhere. I don't know that there was a part of the city that they didn't visit, somebody that they didn't go see. I mean, it was amazing.
It truly was. And I was there Saturday night, too. There was, I think, besides you and I and our families, there were probably 69,750 other people there. So it was a big crowd, a lot of families. It was great atmosphere. It was electric. And, you know, from my background in minor league baseball, I think this was a huge hit in New Orleans, and something that we're very proud to be a part of.
I tell you one thing, we need to get a hold of their merchandising guy, because he works magic. I had a 30-something-year-old guy sitting next to me with Savannah Banana tennis shoes, socks, shorts, T-shirt, and a hat. He had to be $600 in. Okay? I mean, it was crazy.
If you saw the tent in Champion Square, it had to be a 30,000 square foot tent that was just their merchandise tent. And then, of course, all the merchandise operations they had around the stadium. They know what they're doing. And they're generating a lot of revenue and bringing a lot of smiles to a lot of people around the country. So and they keep the prices, ticket prices down because of all that other revenue that they generate. So making it family oriented and doing all the fun things that that you can do, especially when you're not playing in a professional league as they are, playing in their own league. It's it made it great and very family friendly and a lot of fun to attend.
You know, it was interesting in light of all the fun that was being had. There were serious moments, you know, about the work that they're doing with foster care. And it was a very touching moment, touching video. And you can tell that they're good corporate partners, too, and they're giving back to each and every one of the communities that they visit.
Yeah, I saw the promo for that, and they call it Bananas Foster. I wonder if the Brennan family was aware of that, but it was really neat to see what they do to promote foster care and how they put their platform and their social media and media behind it. It's very touching that they do that. So obviously it's something that was very close to their hearts. You know, it's always nice to see these events that come in and are so successful and that they give back to the community.
In fact, the Bananas arrival in NOLA might have gotten even more attention than meteorites raining down on Ohio. We're going to check in with the Dana and Parks show out of Odyssey Station KMBZ in Kansas City real quick to hear about it.
Apparently this involves some sort of meteor.
Oh yeah, up there in Ohio. It went boom!
Boom!
Bah!
Who is this character?
That was descriptive.
It is a guy who witnessed the meteor hitting the ground. Where was it in Ohio, Dan?
Yes.
You know.
Okay.
Let me pull up the
story so that we're not just talking circles around absolutely nothing
It kind of sounded like the Catalina wine mixer in the movie Step Brothers where they're pow!
Northeast Ohio.
A 17,000-pound meteor confirmed by NASA.
That's
9
huge.
A.m. on Tuesday in Northeast Ohio.
Nearly 6 feet in diameter.
Guys, it's huge.
NASA was confirming that the 6-foot, 17,000-pound meteor traveled 44,000 miles per hour over Northeast Ohio, about 50 miles above Lake Erie, when the first splash was detected.
And what did it sound like when it hit?
It boom!
Now, was it still that heavy when it actually impacted the ground?
I'm assuming, yeah, that would be the
landing
weight.
A lot of it burns off
weight.
In the atmosphere.
I think that was the landing weight was 17,000 pounds. It sounded like this, Dan.
It was just like a boom, like that. Like, bah!
Bah! I think somebody's wondering where his next one is coming from.
A meteor, sometimes called a shooting star, is a space rock that crashes through Earth's atmosphere, according to NASA. Thank you.
Appreciate that meteorite description.
NASA says that some small pieces of the meteor landed somewhere in Medina County, Ohio.
Where has the news been on that? I mean, you would think of a 17,000-pound meteorite hit the Earth, okay? It would be all over the news. This is the first I've heard of it.
And thank you for saying it right, by the way. It is meteorite, wasn't it?
NASA's website does, in fact, list a Tuesday incident as a fireball event, meaning that it was an exceptionally bright meteor. The space agency said that eyewitnesses in Delaware, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Maryland, Michigan, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, the District of Columbia, and the Canadian province of Ontario all filed reports on the American Meteor Society website about this event. According to NASA, an analysis places the first visibility of the meteor at an altitude of 50 miles above Lake Erie. The fireball was reportedly caused by a small asteroid nearly 6 feet in diameter and weighing about 7 tons, that traveled over 34 miles through the upper atmosphere before fragmenting 30 miles over Valley City, north of Medina in Ohio. Fragments then continued on to the north, producing meteorites in the vicinity of Medina County. In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Marty Griffin of Odyssey Station KDKA spoke to someone who witnessed the fireball on Tuesday.
Bob, did you see it?
Oh, yes.
It's Marty.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, brother.
Okay, good. I I'm just not used to calling in and hearing you through my phone. Anyway, I'm coming from Connecticut, heading to Wisconsin, and at 8:55, I actually looked down at the clock. 8:55 is when I saw this going across the sky at an angle, maybe about 45 degrees or so. Long tail, very vivid, on fire. It was probably one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
Wow. Dumb question. Yeah. Do you have a dash cam?
No, darn it.
It's all right.
If I did, it would be an amazing thing to see. It would probably be on all the network news because I had an absolutely perfectly clear, vivid image of it. And I'm in Clarion now, so nice. I was an hour back. I'm at mile marker 67. I just passed the car. It looked like they had a terrible night last night.
Wow.
Car was all flipped over in the snow over on the side. Wow. No one's there, but I mean, and the road was closed or not closed, but in really bad shape. Yeah. We're talking Interstate 80.
Yeah, got ugly, brother.
I had to get off and go around. And then come back on about, maybe 20 minutes before the Clarion area.
That's amazing. So, Bob, thank you, my man.
Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup presented by the Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to Drive Time with DeRussia out of WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities, the Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, Newell Normand out of WWL in New Orleans, and Marty Griffin of KDKA in Pittsburgh. You can find and subscribe to these shows and the Something Offbeat podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.